podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 597, where you can hear us on parockshow.com, xrpradio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom, megarockradio.net, and KFGD 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, Rudaroo Radio in Ocean Beach, San Diego, California, and altrockradio.ca. in Hamilton, Ontario, Ontario, Canada. That was terrible. I was 597 episodes, and I don't think I've made it through that list correctly once. This is the PA Rock Show. With me tonight is Right Turn Clyde. What's up?
Hey, glad to be here.
I am. We have various stages of darkness, which leads me right to that devil question.
Oh, no.
But before we get to there, let's start out with something easy. Could you guys introduce yourselves real quick and mention what you do in the band?
Here we go.
Go ahead, Clyde.
Oh, I'm Clyde of Right Turn Clyde. What can I say? I'm the circus leader of this amazing circus we have.
Everybody's sitting there going, okay, who's next?
Tom Boyce. Tom Boyce, lead guitar.
I'm Jesse Lowry, bass and backup vocals.
I am...
Backup?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tina Patricia Cooper, and I do some rhythm stuff, and I am also backup vocals.
So a couple things that I'm going to throw in there. First of all, it's a really cool stand-up bass. I was so mad that I couldn't get better shots of it. I mean, I got good shots, but I wanted better ones.
Yeah. The picture I used for my profile is phenomenal. That's just a great shot. I was really, really into it, and you captured it. I love that picture.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you guys have been playing a lot of shows recently. I think starting with the night that I went out, right? Was that the first?
Right Turn Clyde has been around for 7 years. There's been different versions of it, but we average around 100 shows a year. So we're really a hard-hitting act in town. We're all over the place, you know. We try really hard to kind of stretch it out a bit because you've got the Pittsburgh market, but then, you know, like any other band, you don't want to burn out a specific area. So we take it north, east, west, south, you know, try to keep it within an hour from Pittsburgh to kind of grow the audience. But in that, it'll take us about 100 shows a year. So
I know you have a show coming up on this Saturday, and I can't remember the details.
That's at Helltown Tap Room in Houston, PA. It's our last show of the year. We're hosting their Ugly Pajama Contest. So,
Sweater.
Christmas sweater. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. I'll be in my ugly pajamas. That'd be it. So,
you'll have to direct everyone back to the video so they can understand. Why are you? Wait, go to.
Exactly.
So I feel like I should just skip over where did the band name come from, because I have a feeling I know. There's a scene in a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Wrong?
You're absolutely correct. You know, the brief history behind the band, it originally started with myself and another guy. We were trying to get into the duo thing in the Pittsburgh market, and we couldn't book it. We had a decent show, but we just couldn't book it. And one day he came to me and said, Clyde, my friend at work said, why don't we use the name Right Turn Clyde? And I go, well, why? He goes, well, remember that scene in the movie?
Isn't it Every Which Way But Loose? Yeah,
right, exactly. In the line.
I can't remember where my wife lived.
Yeah, the line was Clint Eastwood telling the orangutan, Right Turn Clyde, and he would punch, you know, whoever, you know, the law officer, or whatever. And that was the big deal. And he goes, well, that
Clyde does the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. They keep telling me to do that, and I hit people. But and then he goes, Clyde, your name's Clyde. That's the hook. And I go, oh, well, let's do that. And we created like a really, I just found it recently, a rudimentary logo that has an orangutan with his fist out. And it was like Right Turn Clyde, you know, with the initials R, you know, TC, and then like the orangutan like that. But that was the first logo. And that's where it all started. And we've just been very, very fortunate and lucky. And we've had some amazing players in the act. And it's just grown. I'm very proud of what we've been able to do. The last year, 2021, you know, with challenges, you know, with COVID and things like that, we took off really strong right after when they were allowed to do live entertainment again. And the cool part about Right Turn Clyde is that we kind of replicate a very large band sound with just a few members. And that's been our whole shtick, is that, you know, we have so many people to come to us and go, oh my God, you sound so much bigger than what you are. And that's just a, you know, relying on effects and the ability of, you know, the whole theory behind the upright bass was to eliminate a drum kit, you know, and allow that upright bass, because it resonates and it creates a beat, and if done right, like Jesse can really thump it hard, you know, it can replace that sound. And then in turn, you have the two guitars that will create the illusion of a giant sound in what we do and how we pull it off. So that's kind of the gist and the magic behind of what we do and how we do it. So,
so how did the current lineup come together?
You know what? I guess I'll start with Jesse. I met Jesse at a fundraiser we did at a location for the American Cancer Society, and he was with this band,
Unnecessary Polka.
Unnecessary Polka. Okay.
Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
We introduce him, ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. And so they're doing their thing. And out of nowhere, Jesse breaks into this. What was it, Croatian or what was it?
Ukrainian.
Ukrainian.
It's some Ukrainian, or actually, it's some Ukrainian polka punk band. Gorgo Bordello, I think it is. Ever heard of them?
No.
Gorgo Bordello.
I have. Okay.
Was that the Cossack Ride or something?
No, it was the Start Wearing Purple.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's the song. That's right.
That was the song. Yeah. Then right in the middle of the song, it just breaks into Ukrainian. And yeah, so it's pretty cool too. Yeah.
Well, that's where I first saw Jesse, and he was there. Now, what happens is that Right Turn Clyde, again, and I'll say just a few years ago, you know, we were sponsored by Iron City Beer. We had a heavy promotion going on locally, and they would throw these parties that we would be a part of. And we did that year. We did like 130 shows. It was a lot. We were everywhere. But what happens in real life is that it burns people out. And so I've learned from experience, and I've experienced it myself in the 7 years of doing this, is that people have real lives, you know, and so they can't do three or four shows a week, or two shows a day, 2-3 hour shows a day constantly. And so what happens is that they eventually, you know, say, hey, Clyde, it's been a blast, but I'm out of here, you know. And then I've had guys that just don't like me, you know, and it's the way it goes. And just split, you know, like, you know,
what?
Yeah, I've been told that you are a talentless hack. I've been told that to my face. Ouch. Okay. And I go, okay, cool. I got to get to the next gig. Sorry. You know. So the cool part is that this last round, we just lost a guitar player, similar situation, you know, a lot of shows and commitments of the family and stuff like that. And Tom has been around. Like, he's been basically played with every band in Pittsburgh, and we came across him with this talent. He stepped in once, and to be quite honest, I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh are about to see what Tom can do, because we're going to get in front of a lot more people. Like right now, we've got just about 60 shows already in the books for next year. But the cool part is that we're expanding to bigger rooms. So it's going to be more faces that we'll see. You know, we had some great shows at Jurgles. We did two shows, the opening for two different acts. And a lot of people got to see what we're all about. And it's funny, you know, we push, if you look at Facebook, a lot of people will say, oh my God, you look like you're the busiest band in town, because we're all over Facebook. You know, we have a great social media footprint. It works really well. It's a really cool machine, how it's done and how we get it out there. But when we did that last show at Jurgles, we had people coming up and go, what's your name? We've never seen you before. Oh my God, where can we see you again? So it shows that even with all the efforts, there's still a lot more work to do in order to continue to grow what we do. So Tom has come along and has really upped our game to the next level. And what I mean by that, his ability to play has taken us up a notch to keep up with him, which is great. It's really added a whole different view. And so as we kind of moved along, you know, it was kind of like we needed something a little bit different. We've kind of owned our niche, those trios and those duos out there, those acoustic rocks. And what's happened is Right Turn Clyde has kind of morphed into something different. And what I mean by that, it's more of an electronic sound. So it is a harder edge. And we've had some rooms that go, hey, you're just a little too much for us, you know, and once we get rolling, we put on a really rowdy show. It's fun. And it's not like, you know, we're jumping into a mosh pit or anything, but it's rowdy and fun in a fun way. I guess the prime example is how we took on, we played the Big Taco Festival. It was done out at a few months ago. And we had this giant crowd in our hands. And it was fun. But it's the first time we've been able to do something that big to that big of a crowd and just roll it. But it proved that we can do it. And I'm super happy about that. So in that, you know, Tina is my girlfriend, my love of my life. But she's also has this amazing voice. And I'll let her talk about it. But she cantors at church and has this amazing voice that's going on. And let me stop for a quick second. Jesse has this amazing voice as well. So the idea is into 2022 is to how to take these talents and bring our vocal expertise to a different level in the presentation. Tina really adds a lot to it. I mean, she's new just by a few weeks, but as we do our final show, Saturday, we jump into rehearsals after the holidays and start focusing on a whole new groove, you know, and then we're going to reintroduce it back at Steamworks in late February. So people actually hear the new sound. There'll be some percussion in. There'll be some different sounds, different songs. You know, Tina will have, you know, she'll be working on 5 or 6 different songs, which is completely different for Right Turn Clyde, which has pretty much been all male driven. So I'm super excited to see how it goes. And the team that we have here is just extremely solid, and I'm very proud of them. I really am.
Right, are you guys ready for that devil question now?
Uh-oh.
I'm speaking metaphorically, so don't panic. The myth in the blues circles is that Robert Johnson went away for a year, went to the crossroads, met with the devil, and sold his soul to be able to play guitar. So if you are standing at the crossroads waiting for the devil to show up, what are you going to sell your soul for?
Good question.
Actually, I've been at those crossroads in Mississippi. and it had this plaque crosswords, and I went in a gas station, brought pork rinds. So I bought pork rinds.
All right. Good answer.
Yeah. And somebody sold it, not go to hell. You play a trick on them, you know.
Right. It's just like a Tenacious D song.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah.
Sell my soul for well.
Years and years ago, I lived in the Mid-South, and I had the opportunity to work in Tunica, Mississippi, which is where the casinos were. So just over the border, about half an hour. But anyway, in doing so, you go through an old town. Now, Highway 61 that goes through northern Mississippi into Memphis, which was the road where everybody played, from Elvis to B.B. King to, I mean, just the legends, you know, started at this little bitty room. You know, Mark Cohn sings about it. And it's this restaurant that I went in, and it, they served great cheeseburgers. That's why I went in. But then someone told me the history behind the building.
You're leading me into another question. Keep going.
And so in sitting there, just as in that Mark Cohn song, you sit there and you look at the stage is still there and the brick wall is still there. And you go, wow, I'm sitting where these guys cut their teeth. You know, I've always been in entertainment in one way or another, being booking or management or now with Right Turn Flight. And I sat there, and you literally do see a crossroad. There is a crossroads there. It's right there, you know, which leads to 61. And to answer your question in a very long way, so I guess I didn't ask for any. I was in awe that I'm standing on the ground that so many legends stood. And it was almost like an altar to these legends. And I didn't know how to really put my arms around it, because these guys all invented rock and roll in one form or fashion. So it was just really neat to see it. That's all.
I thought you were going to tell me you would sell your soul to have another cheeseburger from there.
No, I just bought it. It's like $9. It's like, here, no, I don't have to trade off with the devil. Bring out the AMX. So. But it was a great burger. It was like fresh ground beef. It wasn't those patties. It's like real. Someone smashed it and made it, and it just when you ate it, it just dripped all up in your arms. It was great. That's why I'm a diabetic.
He's
now.
Still leading me into this question. He doesn't even know it. Tina or Jesse, do you want to answer that one?
I would like to be able to pull up a recipe on the internet without having to read blogs and other bull. It's just so frustrating, man. It's tough.
The man can cook, by the way. He can cook.
Yeah, I'm a madman in the kitchen.
Yes, he is.
No, but in all seriousness, there's an incident that happened in my life. If I could go back and erase it, that would probably be the one thing I would wish for.
Ooh.
But, you know. But if I go to hell for it, but hey, at least that incident was erased. So
cool, man.
So
hey, Tina, do you want?
Oh, well, so I have, it's not unique, but at least an ability to learn many different instruments. And I have since I was in college for music, which I, you know, started out in and then eventually changed majors because I got burned out, but I, you know, continued with my musical training while I was there as a minor. But anyways, my favorite thing about being in the music department was being able to learn all these different instruments. I loved it. So as much as I was able to pick up these, you know, new instruments, I just really wanted to be good at one thing. Like if I could have been masterful at one instrument, I would, you know, my instrument was trumpet. I did not sing back then. I mean, I sang in a choral setting, but certainly not, you know, on my own. But, you know, I had always hoped that I could be great, you know, maybe not performance quality, but at least, you know, much better than I was. Unfortunately, I don't have that gift, but anyways, just one instrument. I love music very much. And, you know, I just always wanted to be good at like one thing. So jack of all trades, master of none, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's a gift in itself. I don't know.
I want you to tell me about your favorite venue, but the caveat is based on the food you've eaten there.
Oh, easy. That's easy for me. I loved playing the Wheelfish out there not far from McKnight Road in that area. And they have the best brisket. You know, they would pay us in portions of cash, and then everybody got a chance to take home a meal. And of course, we could drink all night. So that's back in the days when I would have my fill of Irish whiskey. You know, that's where Right Turn Clyde really did have a rowdy reputation. You know, drink checks, shot checks, and the whole room was packed and was rolling. But I couldn't wait to get that brisket sandwich at the end of the night. It's amazing. Amazing. I loved it. So,
see, I wish you booked more shows at Chinese restaurants. But
Chalice.
Yeah, but I would have to say to Arsenal Cider House, just because they have amazing ciders, amazing meads there, and once in a while they'll let you take home a bottle, complimentary bottle of something that you like, and it's really good. They treat us good there. Helltown treats us good there.
Yeah,
and they allow us to drink whatever we want, as much as we want, but it's always just me. those two places, Helltown and the Arsenal Cider Houses.
I'm friends with a band from, they're not together anymore, but their bass player used to tell me all the time that he played better when he was drunk, and that everyone else in his band should stay sober. So,
when I first started playing, I was a rhythm guitar player and backup vocalist for the Mo Nelson band.
I remember Mo.
Do you remember Mo? Yeah,
I do.
And, he's passed. I'm sure you know that. Yeah, he's
I do.
Passed. But, super, super cool guy. But I remember, when I got the audition, he goes, all right, you know, and so we'd play every honky tonk in like juke joint, like at Aliquippa, Beaver County, kind of like what we do now. But I mean, you know, like the low lights and the pool tables, and so people would bring over trays of tequila because Mo loved tequila, and it was like, come on, and it'd be shot, 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 and so I didn't drink like that. And so, but the band was rocking. I mean, the more they drank, the wilder they were. I said, all right, I'm going to try this. And so after the third shot, I was like, I was blowing the line. I was missing chords. I was blowing the lines. I go, I suck. I really suck more than I usually do. But the band was amazing. It was wild to watch. And if you know Mo, you know, Mike would just kick it. The more he drank, the wilder he was with that Gretsch, because he would make that Gretsch scream. And, but I just, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he like Mo or Mike there, he disbanded, said, I'm going to go sailing. I'll see you guys later. And went down to Key West on that boat and then stayed, you know, just stayed the entire season down there. So, but yeah, that was crazy. It was crazy how wild that band was. And there had to, I'd say 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 shots and just keep rolling, you know? So,
yeah, I met him through Utah from the Shady Lady Studio.
We've met Utah before. Yeah.
Yes, we have.
So, wow.
I know
he's been very helpful for a lot of acts there. I don't have anything bad to say about the guy. I just, you know, I've seen a lot of cool things. He helps a lot of people out there. He helps a lot of, acts, young, especially up and coming acts, get out there and get the exposure and things like that. So,
So let's see who answered. Jesse answered. Pied answered. Tom and Tina.
Tom and Tina.
I'm cheap and trying to watch what I eat, so I don't really eat much. But what I was excited about, well, I do eat a lot, but like not at the club. So, and if we had played like an all-you-can-eat buffet, that'd be it. But,
all right.
That's what I'm saying. We got to do some of these China walls.
Haas Steakhouse. You know, Haas Steakhouse.
Hoffbrauhaus.
Yeah.
Hoffbrauhaus. That'd be your favorite. Well, exactly. But I like this. Part of this, I like we played this place, Voodoo Brewing, out in New Kensington. That place was jumping.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that was a great, great atmosphere. Great show. It was like a concert. So I like that. And I mean, I like all the places we play, especially like Helltown. You know, they treat us well. But yeah, I didn't have any. Well, I had a Coke. It was a great Coke. You know, I mean,
but as far as Cokes go, it was one of the best.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't get the pizza with the pickles on it. It was like the hangover pizza. I watched these girls eat it. I'm like,
there you go. Yeah.
Well, guys, there is there is that venue out in Acme, you know, Rodney's Corner. That's notorious. I mean, literally out in the woods, up in the mountains, not far from Seven Springs. And for some odd reason, they love us there. Love us. But
well, we play Yenzer Rock. They
You know, one of the stories we had, Josh was one of the other guitar players with us, had ordered a pizza, and the place was rocking. I mean, packed. And this woman comes up to us and says, "Hey, can I have a piece of your pizza?" And we're like, "No." She went up, grabbed it anyway. We're like,
"This is 2020, also."
Yeah.
The summer of 2020.
Yeah.
She's pulling food off people's plates.
It was wild. Needless to say, we probably won't go back there anytime soon. But they love us out there.
Survival instincts kicked in.
That's right. Yeah.
But everybody comes in like looking like
times
mountain
are tough, man.
Try turn card here. Yes, we'll play. So, but.
Hey Tina, do you have a favorite venue based on food?
To be quite honest, I really haven't had any of the food anywhere we've gone, but I have had the beer at Helltown, which is absolutely wonderful. I'm an IPA girl when I do drink beer, which isn't very often, but when I do, I enjoy IPAs very much, and so I think they have a excellent product there. But, you know, a lot of the places we play at have greasy bar food, and my stomach can't tolerate grease, so I stay away from it. So, yeah, I look at it from afar.
So this is sort of the official question of Bill DeSene, and just to give you a short history behind it, I started tagging Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, trying to get Dave to come on the show.
And wow.
He talks to everybody, and he's online all the time. I've never heard from him. So I've come up with this plan that I'm going to keep asking this question until he comes and talks to me. And, you know, the Foo Fighters are known for bringing people up on stage to play songs with them, that like you know, an original Foo Fighters song. So my question is, who is your Dave Grohl? In other words, what band would you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their songs?
Well, that's a good question.
And someday I'm going to get to ask Dave that, but who knows when.
Wow.
I think Springsteen would be fun, you know, to get up there and do something cool with the E Street Band. I think that'd be a hip thing, you know, do something, you know, one of their legends and play along with it. So that'd be cool.
Tom's really thinking this one through.
Yeah.
Metallica.
Yeah. All right.
That would
there you
be
go.
Epic.
See, yeah. He just led me into another question.
It would probably be Iron Maiden for me.
Okay, Tina. She's always last.
Well, no, it's okay. I've listened to a lot of music in my past. So, you know, some of these like indie rock bands or whatever, you know, maybe in the day that's what they refer to. So you probably, maybe you've heard of Jeff Tweedy. Maybe you've heard of Wilco. Yeah. So anyway. I really enjoy their music. They've been around for a while, and probably, you know, just because it's a genre of music that I connect to. And yeah, anyways, and I've seen Jeff Tweedy by himself here in Pittsburgh. Never seen Wilco as a band together, but Jeff Tweedy, and I, you know, I just love his music. So yeah, anyway.
Hey Tom, so here's the question you triggered in my head. So Metallica played in Antarctica. Kiss played in the ocean to sharks. Where is an off the wall place that you would like to play? So anywhere random.
Red Rocks in Colorado. I think that'd be cool.
I mean, any given arena. Like a large arena. I don't care which one. Cleveland.
You know, that is a thought, and I had reached out to them to play that stage at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They, after January, they're looking for bands to submit. I think that would be cool as hell too. Stage of the Hard Rock at Hall of Fame there.
Let's say you're walking down the road and you pass a DeLorean, which just happens to have its door open and a flux capacitor inside it, waiting for you to climb in, set a date, and go hang out with the band. What band in the history of the world are you going to go hang out with?
Yes, 1971.
That was fast.
Wow.
Hendrix, 68.
Wow. I'd say for me, Bowie, 96 or 7, somewhere around there.
The Beatles, 1967.
Wow.
Between 1967 and 70, because Let It Be is my favorite album. So,
will Yoko be there?
We can pretend she's not there. Oh,
you have to leave.
Tell me about an embarrassing moment that you had on stage, and it doesn't. There's a caveat. And it doesn't necessarily have to be while you were with Right Turn Clyde, but it can't be something that you did. It has to be something that somebody else did in the band that embarrassed you.
When I was 14, 15, maybe 15 years old, I was in a band with a bunch of guys my age. And I don't know how we got the show, but we were asked to play during the Memorial Day parade in Connorsville, my hometown. So here's a bunch of, there's like four 14 year old kids. And we're in the middle of the street, all plugged in with our guitars. And I didn't even know how to play guitar back then. I just sang. And all of a sudden, like the guitar player and the bass player just got into this fist fight, like right in the middle of the street. And they started like smashing. The one guy smashed his guitar off the sidewalk and then attacked the other guy. And needless to say, we were never asked to come back and play again. But my gosh, yeah, it was something. I guess a runner up to that would be the last week when we attended a Pentatonic song in Middle Market Square.
But we hung on until the end. Finish it. Sing it proud and finish it.
Bake it till you bake it. Yeah, that was pretty bad, guys.
we only knew three songs. We knew Louie Louie. We knew Rainbow in the Dark by Dio. We knew Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden. and then we knew an REM song. I think it was in the middle of the REM song that the two got into a fight. They were fine during the metal song.
REM does it too, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It gets you very rowdy. It's like them and the Ramones. So two rowdy acts. R.E.M. and the Ramones.
When you are going from show to show, what is the soundtrack on your way there? What are you listening to on your way to a show?
Oh.
Whatever's on the radio.
Yeah, I have, I use my phone. I use Pandora, and I always listen to Empire of the Sun Radio. So whatever's on there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, just a lot of it's just dance music, just a lot of bass, a lot of beats, a lot of singing, a lot of synthesizers, a lot of overproduction. But I like that.
On the way, I'll actually not listen. I'll just kind of keep it there. Just want clearness. Afterwards, I'll throw on like whatever on happens to be on Spotify playlists, like it's like, you know, old school metal or something. Whichever, just like I have like a random like Tom's 550 songs of awesomeness. Just like everything. Any time it would come on the radio that I wouldn't change, of course I'm now like, oh, I don't listen to that anymore. I haven't heard that. So, but yeah, on the way to shows, you know, I kind of like it, you know, quiet to get in the zone.
Yeah. Yeah, but I have to agree with that. Between shows, I don't really listen because my ears are already ringing. So like if we do like a back-to-back show, which we did a few over the year, quiet, but after that, I don't know, just whatever's on the radio at that point. So,
well, what do we listen to?
It's like the Spectrum channel,
the Spectrum,
like
or cassette rock or something. So
yeah,
that's usually on.
Yeah. We'll listen to that, which is, like 90s rock, stuff like that. Yeah.
Cassette era rock.
That's what they call it. Yep. Yeah. Cassette era rock. Right. So, but that's kind of cool. Yeah. Cause classic rock isn't classic rock anymore. The stuff that we grew up with is now classic rock.
Yeah.
Like what?
How about who is the most famous musician you've ever talked to?
Oh, Clyde.
I got a ton. I can name a dozen. I've had
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes, Engelbert Humperdinck was one. That's because my mom. You know, I a bunch because I did a lot of entertainment work in the casino business. I handled, you know, front of the house, back of the house entertainment for a lot of major world-class acts. So I had some great opportunities to have some serious conversations. I remember having many conversations with Willie Nelson and I don't want to bore you. I have tons of stories that how I met them, and it's just a weird ass. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. A weird situation. I guess one of the coolest stories I could share would be when I first met George Jones, believe it or not. And, you know, I was not a fan of George Jones or Merle Haggard or any of that in those days. But my father was. And as a kid, constantly, you know, Merle Haggard or George Jones and this, that, and the other. So anyway, my father passes away. So I you know, years senior in high school and he was playing our casino and, you know, kind of briefly met him, this, that, the other. I go, you know what? I want to see what this is all about. You know, why is this guy a legend? And so I go walking in there. I sit up in the crow's nest and watch the show going down. And the funniest thing, I just told the story a couple of weeks ago. So the show starts. And back in those days, he had female singers called the Possumettes. And he had this big production in those days. And they come out and they're doing their typical old school country stuff. And he's like, whoa. I said, whoa. And then the band stops. He goes, son. I told you I couldn't hear anything out of this monitor. Now, can you fix this? Can you fix this so I can entertain these people? And it's his son. His son's running sound. What is it? And so he fixes it. And then they start from the very beginning and do the show. And so later, this is where my friendship with him begins, because I become close with the guy. I go, why did you do that? He goes, everybody that bought a ticket deserves that. Yeah, I invite him to me. That showroom is my living room. And it's like I'm playing to them one on one. And if I screw it up and it doesn't sound right, I've gypped them. And I don't want to ever do that. And it's one of those things in memory that I always remembered that as in, always try your best, you know, because these people are going to see you. And as micro as it is with Reiter and Clyde, we try really hard to do a good show. And yeah, you're going to have a bad show. That's all there is to it. But we always try really hard to deliver a good show. But that's one of those stories that really stuck with me, because eventually, years later, I was in New Mexico drinking Diet Coke while he was in his underwear in the bus with his wife there. And yeah, he's sitting there talking about sports. You know, he was getting ready for a show, but I had that kind of relationship. And I had some great relationships with like Merle Haggard and you're right, Engelbert Humperdinck, as silly as he was, you know, that they recognize. Air Supply was another one. You know, there's a whole story with that one, but I have dozens of them. I really should write it down one day, because it's so cool that these people put their pants on just like you do. Who was it told me? I can't remember which act said, I just happen to be the luckier guy. You know, there are so many other guys more talented than me. I just happen to be lucky, and boom. And they became a star, you know? I've just got some really cool stories, and they're just neat people. Some of them have attitudes. Absolutely. You know, I have a great story with the Moody Blues, but I don't want to bore you. You can take up the rest of your show. It's probably one of the coolest stories I've ever had with Moody Blues, but it's wild. They are an interesting group of guys, but anyway, that's my story for you there.
I met Josh Sager, a guitar player for Right Turn Clyde.
Wow.
That guy was amazing.
Okay.
No, he says hi. He says hi, by the way. I've been texting him, so.
Uh-huh. He's a nice guy. He is.
No, I met Yo-Yo Ma. I actually held the elevator for him and rode up in an elevator with him, and we may have said four or five words to each other, but you know, well, thank you, you're welcome, have a good day, you as well. That's about it. But other than that, I haven't really met any real famous musicians. I mean, I know some musicians, you know, I have friends who are in the business and doing rather well in it, in the classical music field, but no one that's famous, you know. But so that's about it.
Yeah, the closest I have is I showed a bass to the bass player of Spinal Tap. So I was out in California. I was wholesale for musical instruments right out of college. And we go to the NAMM show in LA. We had the big convention for, you know, all the musical instruments. And Harry Shearer, you know, the actor, you know, Simpsons and everything, he was going around, he looked at basses, and he was like, oh, it's Harry Shearer, and he's with his publicist. So I refrained from saying, this piece goes up to 11. No, I did make him chuckle on something, and that's it. You know, so it was kind of cool.
Where can the listeners find you guys? Where can they follow you and find out when you're having shows?
The easiest way would go to rightturncollide.com. And it really, we put out, yeah, exactly. We put out, exactly. It's right there. I see it. And it really has a ton of info. We try to make it as interactive as we can. I have some ideas for next year to have some more fun with it, but it spans, you know, we put out a month at a time of what we're doing. And then we try to be interactive with the crowd, let people know what's going. From time to time, I'll do a Facebook Live blast to just let people know that we're not just this site and we're just not this one-dimensional picture sitting there that people can see. So I have some personal goals to kind of add more interactivity to what's going on. As far as music goes, we really don't have any original stuff. We had played with it when we were challenged to do, was it last year or the year prior? Fashion Week?
Last year.
Was it last year or the year
prior? Wait a minute.
Or was it the year prior? I can't remember. They came to us and wanted us to be a part. They did. It was the first time that the Pittsburgh Fashion Week folks did a virtual show, and so they asked the acts that were participating, they'd have a full day of, you know, fashion talk, this, that, the other, and then would have an act. And so the challenge was, is that we had to do some original content. And then we could do a cover or two out of the, I think it was five songs, if I remember correctly. And to be quite honest, I originally said, you know, no, I'm sorry, guys, I'll have to pass on it. And I mentioned it to Jesse and Josh, and it was kind of like, why? You know, I go, what do you mean? He's, well, we have some stuff that we could share. So I called them back and said, you know, hey, do you still have that spot open? And they said, yeah, we're about to give it away, but since we like you, you can have it. And so Josh and Jesse had some amazing original material that went up. And so we started to integrate that into the show for a bit. I would love for us to, you know, get to the point where we could do some original stuff. I always have, and I joke about it, I have music always bouncing around in my head for the show. You know, what can we do better? What can we do? A new song list, this, that, the other, and try to craft, you know, because you constantly have to kind of adjust your show throughout the year because you don't want to burn out some of the rooms that you play all the time. Prime example, you know, we play the Helltown Tap Rooms, all of them, and we'll rotate. Well, after maybe your third appearance, what I don't want to do, people go, oh, we've seen it already. You know, it's like, you know, it's, I don't want to take away from what we've got. But I would love, I think I had shared it with the guys that I would love one day that we could create an EP of original Right Turn Clyde work. I think there's a giant talent pool here within this group here, this version of Right Turn Clyde, that could do something cool like that. I know it takes a lot of work. I've seen it done. Jesse's, you know, got some pieces out there. Did you release your EP or is it still working?
I still got it, get it worked on. There's still some things, yeah.
Yeah. So I see there's a lot of work involved. So, and Tom, you've got something, right?
Well, I've other original music with other groups I got out there.
So, right.
But yeah.
So it's a monumental effort. I joke around. I say, I only want to do Right Turn Clyde for like three more years. You know, our 10th year will be our farewell tour like the Eagles. So we'll be around another 20 after that. So, or like Cher, you know? So, but I think that might be an ultimate goal is to come out with a Right Turn Clyde EP. But it's just what the time commitments are and talent and what we can do and how we can pull it off. So
this has been episode number 597 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Up next, you're going to hear some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. When you hear John and American Hill Jack Lane, you will know the show has ended. That doesn't mean log off of the radio station that you're listening to because they're out there supporting the unsigned and independent artists. So show them a little bit of support by hanging out there and listening to some new music. My name is Bill, and we will catch you next Friday. We'll be right back.
It's a good day.
Package on the porch, Burberry shoes on the floor. You want it all, and some more. If I could buy it, you'd try it. Giselle for the day, you're beautiful, my supergirl. What I'm trying to say is I'd go high broke, go high broke, go high broke for you. Turn this bush light to champagne, can laugh for two. If these feelings were dollars, I'd spend them all on you. Go high broke, go high broke for you. We could fly to Paris on a private jet, from the Gulf Coast to the West Coast. I'd buy you a coaster set if I could buy it. You'd try it, Kim K for the day. You're beautiful, my supergirl. What I'm trying to say is I'd go high broke, go high broke, go high broke for you. Turn this rhyme into five star, can laugh on two. If these feelings were dollars, I'd spend them all on you. I'd go high broke, high broke, go high broke. You could have that hat, you could have that shirt, you could buy them jeans, you could wear that purse, you could pawn them jewels, walk in the shoes. Take me and my bro car too. Pet baby go, live on a boat in a big old castle with a great big moat. I'd rent a rocket to Neptune. Just take me and my bro car too. Just take me and my bro car too. Cause I'd go high broke, go high broke, go high broke for you. Turn this bush light to champagne and can laugh for two. If these feelings were dollars, I'd spend them all on you. I'd go high broke, high broke, go high broke. Yeah, I go high broke, high broke, go high broke for you. Yeah, for you. You could have that hat, you could have that shirt, you could buy them jeans, you could wear that purse.
The This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.